that we will not falter in our appetite to continue to impact and to remain the trusted broadcaster. We will continue to play an active role in preserving our values as Ghanaians. Ladies and gentlemen, once more, you are most welcome to the second lecture. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Board Chairman, Mr. Richard Kwame Asante, and rightly said to us all, GBC must be the standard bearer in quality programming. Next, we call our landlord, the Director General, to make us all welcome.
Mr. Chairman, Chairman of the National Media Commission, other commissioners present, past chairman and members of the National Media Commission, past Director Generals of GBC present, members of the board, management and staff of GBC, distinguished invited guests, our esteemed listeners and viewers across the country, ladies and gentlemen, it is a special privilege for me to welcome you to GBC Studio One for the second lecture in our distinguished lecture series to commemorate the 80th anniversary of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation. Our topic today is the relevance of public service broadcasting. In our midst this afternoon, we have a distinguished Ghanaian who ranks amongst the most distinguished and celebrated of public servants, who has contrived to leave a legacy which has become a case study for the reform of decaying and obsolescent public sector institutions. Our celebrated guest speaker is a contemporary Ghanaian colossus. He is recognizable not only because of his distinctive facial features, but also because he has never shied away from controversy, bold thinking, forthright expression, and smart implementation. He is widely admired and celebrated for the strength of his views and clarity of vision. I am excited that GBC succeeded in coaxing our distinguished speaker to put away the Herculean job that he has at the moment of developing a modern academic center of excellence to appear on our platform. We are truly honored to have this illustrious son of the soil today, and I have no doubt whatsoever that this will be a very fruitful and very enthralling experience. Mr. Chairman, on this note, I know I have taken over the MC's job. Since the MC was supposed to introduce the speaker, I welcome you to the second lecture of GBC Distinguished Lecture Series on behalf of the board, management, and staff. I wish you pleasant viewing and listening. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Director General Major Albert Don Chebi, retired. Now, need I say more? But anyway, I'll do my job. Professor Stephen Adey has a list of academic laurels, including a PhD in economics from Australia. He's an expert in leadership, public management, finance, economics, marketing, and marriage counseling. He's currently the executive chair of the Ghana Christian International High School, an adjunct professor of leadership at Ashesi University College here in Accra. He was professor of economics and leadership at the Pentecost University College from 2009 till July 2014. He was the director general and first rector of the Ghana Institute of Management and Public Administration. He headed the team that transformed the school into a very successful organization. He was head of the United Nations system in South Africa from 1994 to February in 1995. And then he was the UNDP resident representative in Namibia from 1995 to 1999. He taught economics at both the University of Ghana and the University of Sydney, so both home and abroad have benefited from him. Professor Adey has served on many international and local bodies, including chair of GBC, board member, Kofi Annan Center for Excellence in Information and Communication Technology. He served as president and council member of the Chartered Institute of Marketing Ghana, member of the Global Foundation of Management Education in Canada, council member of the Association of African Public Administrators and Management, board member of the Commonwealth Association of Public Administrators and Management, member of the board of the Center for Policy Analysis, Accra, and the president of the Ghana Red Cross Society. He is currently chairman and or member of the boards of several companies and institutions, including membership of the advisory board of the Ministry of Finance here in Ghana. He is an author, a co-author, an editor of more than 20 books and book chapters, written more than 100 articles and papers. As a committed evangelical Christian, Professor Adey has served many organizations in voluntary capacities as deacon, elder, chairman, and board member of churches and non-profit organizations, including the Scripture Union. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Professor Stephen Adey.
Before I say anything, I will say that the Director General and the MC's introductions should be given to me to go and show it to my family. So that they don't have to worry when I die, they just put something there. My Lord's spiritual and temporal compatriots, ladies and gentlemen, I feel humbled, honored, and subdued to be called upon to give this address today. I have a sense of unusual responsibility in that regard to talk about the relevance of the public service broadcasting in Ghana and worldwide. Is something that my being even the chairman of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation and my director general, the only lady director general of GBC, is here with us, Eva, one of the finest executives I've worked with. Welcome. You will therefore pardon me if I feel a bit intimidated, knowing that there are more qualified communicators and broadcasters out there listening to the Shiromwasi boy who speaks Shire English. We live in a country where you retire at 60 and our life expectancy is supposed to be about 60. That means some of us are living under grace and in transit quarters with a national anthem being nearer my God. But even shorter are the lifespan of many corporations in Ghana, both private and public. Those of us who are old enough and have lived through the struggle for independence, I say lived through because I was then a young schoolboy, and oftentimes because of NLM's CPP fights, our schools will be closed and we actually go and stay in the bush in town, hamlets, in the cocoa farms until the battles subdue. And we had the opportunity to march as students during the Independence Day celebration, walking into the brave new world of an independent country. We also have the nostalgia of remembering the Ghana Railways with its blue trains, which was the best way to travel across the country, especially in the southern part. Then I grew up, had the Ghana Airways, which was my preferred airline, especially when I was working with the Commonwealth Secretariat in London. Then your things were shipped by the Black Star Line. These were days where we had these corporations, and all of them are virtually extinct. Therefore, for GBC to have survived for 80 years is something worth celebrating. I therefore wish the board of directors, management, and the staff a happy anniversary. Like Moses in the Bible, however, you may be starting the most challenging phase of your life as an institution at your 80th birthday. In an era of proliferation of private and commercial media houses and digitization, to mention two of the phenomena shaping broadcasting today, your achievement from your humble beginning at Station ZOY in a small bungalow on the 9th Road next to the State House in Accra to being a leader in broadcasting in Ghana has been remarkable. You have weathered challenges of low levels of finance, past and even present pressures to make GBC serve as propaganda arm of government in power, and the constant occupation of soldiers in the bad old days of military coups. Still quite interesting entering and seeing sandbags at the entrance of GBC, whilst when I was working in the Commonwealth Secretariat, you go on the street in front of BBC without even thinking about it, because it was normal. I have every reason, therefore, to have confidence that the 80 years will serve as a springboard for even greater achievement under our democratic dispensation, especially now that we have a communication person as the president of Ghana. To put in my student's cap, I would say, President Mahama, do something significant for GBC before you die. And especially because the lifespan of a president in Ghana is very short, 4 years or at most 8 years, and we will hold you responsible if you leave GBC the way you found it. I can hear the old man, as I hear that His Excellency is called by those in his office, saying reverently, "Stephen, get on with your business." In case, under the tyranny of speaking on such a nationwide platform, I have to be stopped before I finish my test, let me announce upfront an overview of what I'm going to say. Compatriots, ladies and gentlemen, in the time allotted me, which amounts to half a minute for each year of GBC's life, I want to touch on 5 issues. Emphasizing only the first and the last. I would like to announce them up front. First, I will argue that despite the scores of commercial and private media houses, including tens of FM radios and TV stations, which are bound to increase with the imminent coming of digitization, I will be arguing that it is indispensable and necessary in our context to have an independent public broadcasting corporation. In fact, it is needed now more than ever. Our few years of experience of the commercial private media landscape in Ghana today makes it even more imperative and pertinent to have an independent public interest broadcasting service, which we can truly say, take GBC out, and the rest are all the same. Even though that is the unique FM, is a little bit of an exaggerated statement, because it does not acknowledge also some of the achievements of the private media houses, there is a way in which public service broadcasting brings on board value addition, which others do not replicate, especially when it comes to public interest. Second, I will state that in order to achieve that unique role and status and fulfill the mandate of a public service broadcaster, GBC cannot do business as usual. It must continually adapt and improve its technology, sharpen its public-centered programming, and consciously reach out to the diverse Ghanaian publics with all their kaleidoscopic diversity to justify its continual relevance. You see why people in Shromazi shouldn't use big words. Third, I will submit that the time has come for us to stop discussing the funding of GBC, such as raising license fees, to positive and immediate actions to provide the necessary resources to enable the corporation to deliver on its mandate through a national levy linked to the payment of public utilities. Fourth, I intend to challenge the management and staff of the corporation to take advantage of the 1992 Constitution, especially the creation of a National Media Commission and the repeal of the criminal libel law to become a truly public service institution, independent of governmental forces, both in content and programming. Finally, I would like to use this platform to suggest some areas the Ghanaian public service broadcaster should lead discussion with a view to finding solutions to critical national, cultural, social, political, and economic challenges which defy non-objective analysis in the era of partisan politics. With so many of the private media houses seemingly corrupted and co-opted by political parties and partisan interests, we need an advocate of the Ghanaian way beside the NDC, CPP, NDP, PP, or MPP way. And when I'm done, I can say I will decline your invitation to your 160th anniversary series. Unless the same invitation is extended equally to President Nkrumah, Prime Minister Busia, and even youthful President Mahama at the same time. For by the grace of God, I will be in heaven before that time. Therefore, let me take the issue of the relevance of public service broadcasting. Even though I had my personal views on the relevance of public service broadcasting, my stock of trade as a professor required that I check with other authorities what they have written on the subject. And to my surprise, there was near unanimity among many of the sources, as well as my own view. Let me put mine so that I know when to jump, and somebody can give me a note as to when they want me to stop, because professors can talk for 5 minutes or 2 hours, which is your choice. Some of the literature I consulted will be found in the hard copy and electronic copies of my address, but such an address does not allow you to be saying according to this and according to that. That is for the university seminar rooms. I also found I read a lot of the previous addresses of GBC at GBC anniversaries, and I must say that I was particularly impressed by two of them. One by Dr. Raymond Atuguba, not of I Put It To You fame, but of the University of Ghana Law School, and Mr. Bray Cabral Amihair, who is now sitting here, the chairman of the National Media Commission. And I unashamedly co-opted some of their views. And that is what we professors profess. We just profess that you have taken somebody's views and you are okay. It is important for me to define what we mean by public service broadcasting. We do not mean state broadcasting, whereby state authorities, specifically the government, supervises the media and has full control over content and programming, with the institution being driven by political interest, as prevailed in the stream in erstwhile communist countries and to varying degrees in much of our national history. Politicians in Ghana have often attempted to turn the GBC into a state broadcasting corporation, especially in the latter days of one-party regime under Nkrumah, and to varying degrees thereafter up to today. The politicians will have GBC become a state broadcasting corporation, except when they are in opposition and they need a voice. When they are in government, they want to corrupt it. When they are in opposition, they want GBC to be objective. By public service broadcasting, we refer to a media system or institution that is defined in a carefully articulated legislative framework, which, while being publicly financed, is managed and operated for public interest, benefits of citizens, and enjoys substantial programming and content autonomy. It stands in sharp contrast to commercial broadcasting, which are usually owned by private entities for commercial ends and driven by consumer interest, and who get their revenue mainly from advertising and private investments. A UK group with the unusual name of Article 19 organization, that is part of their unwritten constitution, has elaborated 6 international principles and standards that ought to characterize public service broadcasting. First is universality in terms of availability and accessibility of public service broadcasting to the entire population of the country. The second is diversity in range and variety of programs. Third, independence of both state and commercial interests when it comes to content and programming. 4, impartiality of programs so that it does not promote parochial and sectional interests. 5, concern for national identity and culture. And lastly, obtaining its finances mainly and directly from public sources and not private sources. If one thinks such an institution is not needed in Ghana today, then I have risen a serious problem with that person. The relevance of public service broadcasting lies in the fact that probably properly organized and allowed to function with the requisite financial, technical, and human resources is the only institution in the broadcasting arena which every member of the country can identify with. This is because it provides voice to the voiceless. In the good old days of GBC, even from where I grew up in the farthest point of the world, of the globe, the ambassador of which I volunteered myself to always be of Hiromwasi, I could learn about the cultures of Nzimas, Dagbanis, Gans, Akans, and Ewes, just because there was a box by my father's house where he eats, and then we can go there. And as I was mentioned, to hear the voices of, you know, and I still remember it because how he rammed, this is Vaida Kurantin Asante, and the likes. I believe that public service broadcasting ensures that the general population, not party-sponsored serial chorus, have access to express the broad spectrum of views and issues of public concern. PSBs also promote national cohesion, understanding, and cultural identity of a people, which commercial houses are not likely to promote. How many commercial houses in Ghana would pray the national anthem, recite the prayer, or sing the famous Yenyarai Asasini of Iframemu fame, let alone devote hours to teach English to villages, which we used to hear on GBC in the morning? PSVs will facilitate discussions around national development issues such as poverty, reduction, education, health, and others which commercial interests tend to gloss over. That is why my former employers, in one of their documents, the UNDP, states, public service broadcaster has the potential, and I will add, not always realized though, to play a crucial role on ensuring the public's right to receive a wide diversity of independent and non-partisan information and ideals. It can also help to promote a sense of national identity, foster domestic and other important social values, provide quality educational and informational programming, and serve the needs of minorities and other specialized groups. Ladies and gentlemen, do not get me wrong. I am fully supportive of having commercial broadcasting houses in Ghana because they play complementary roles. In fact, despite the excesses of certain segments, including partisanship, sheer low quality of many private media in Ghana today, I believe that much of the democratic dividends we are enjoying today, such as free press, voice to different political ideologies, and other liberties, are partly the result of the work of private media. And I also see the quality of the likes of Multimedia Group, Metro TV, TV3, TV Africa, the radios like Peace FM, City FM, and the like, are also improving over time. And some of the private media, print media, are also on the rise. I was shocked to hear the other day that Daily Guide is the second biggest circulating paper in Ghana. I stand to be corrected, which is quite unusual because for us, when we were young, graphic meant newspaper. And so now I couldn't. All that notwithstanding, commercial interest alone will always mean that the proverbial community goat in broadcasting will be left going hungry. On the downside today, libel and slander by some private media personnel, obviously on the pay of politicians and bad elements in civil society, which sadly are far more frequent than the exceptions, require public service broadcasting to offer the needed balance. In technical terms, as an economist, I would say that public service broadcasting in relation to commercial broadcasting stands in the same way as the state is among private sector development in the nation. We call it because of market failure. If you allow the commercial interest, in the case of broadcasting, you see that profit and parochial interest will reign and certain vital national issues will not be addressed. For example, ask the private media owners and those who host morning shows, morning and other shows, why they focus on sensationalism, always pitching NDC and MPP ideologues, whom you can even tell from the beginning. I mean, when there's Bawumia's speech, you know that one side will say it is the best that has ever happened, and one is the most horrible one. And I was joking with my wife. I think that before Bawumia made his speech, the other side didn't spend the night just listening and seeing what they will use in poking it, and the next day the Minister of Communication will make a press conference based upon that. Unfortunately, at the end of it, they will say that, you know, other people are not bringing up the ideas. But, you know, all that these media do is pitching an NDC against MPP, and I ask them why. And they say that because it sells. That's what our people. So that is what defines that. So there's always an MPP way, an NDC way, and no Ghanaian way. I believe that as a result, such things as corruption, national long-term perspective studies, the quality of our education, and the rest will not normally be discussed in the private media. Who has to do it is GBC. It is therefore important for us and for GBC to give voice to authentic Ghanaian intellect and voices. let's make sure that the likes, and I dare say names, though I'll get, will get me in trouble, like Dr. Kwesi Botwe, Professor Ernest Eyite, Professor Kwabra from Pon Boatin, Crusading Engineers, Pa Kwesi Ndum, Abu Sakara, and maybe the likes of Baumia, are brought into the studio to be interrogated about what is the way forward for Ghana, not NDC, MPP ways, because development is knowledge intensive. Moreover, we in the social sciences know that no one has a panacea, but the more we engage one another intellectually and dispassionately, we are likely to come up with a better option with the and solutions to the various demands of our country. I believe that a good public service broadcasting should give voice to such identified brains. Most countries, therefore, around the world, with few notable exceptions, have a national publicly funded broadcaster as they make important contribution to the public's right to diversity of information, viewpoints, and free flow of information and ideas. They give the other side of the story. However, public broadcasting services elsewhere has survived amidst development of the nation, private sector, media houses, and all, not by virtue of claiming it by right or through having a professor make an intellectual discourse. They have earned being public sector broadcasting, and that is worth funding. For example, GBC's biggest sister, the British Broadcasting Corporation, is noted everywhere for the quality of its news, documentation, globally successful comedies, innovative website, and being a unique national brand. It carries the British identity worldwide. Probably BBC is the single most important promoter of the British economy, culture, and democracy. Of course, even in the UK, there's still debate as to whether BBC should be funded publicly, with David Cameron himself once being a very strong, ardent critic of public funding of BBC. But the majority of British people willingly subscribe and pay for the existence of BBC, so that even most educated people in Ghana every morning tune in to BBC. We can be the equivalent as Ghana Broadcasting Corporation. Let me just 1 minute say that sometimes I get a bit worried. We say that when you were preparing the news, didn't you listen to Reuters in the morning? Didn't you listen to BBC? So that in addition to whether this president went and opened a 5,000, borehole with 15 cars and other things, you do that one. But in addition, tell us what is happening around the world. And that is very easy. The BBC has earned it. The lesson for GBC is that public sector broadcasting has survived and remained relevant in Britain and elsewhere because they provide useful service, independent thinking, alternatives to my view and your view, and have public interest at heart. We should therefore pursue excellence, my time being so, and don't allow GBC to be co-opted and corrupted by sectional interests. That puts an onus on the leadership, management, and staff of the corporation. I had the privilege of being the chairman of GBC And interestingly, during my time, something happened. About four or five staff through whose hands there was a news item which was definitely not right, and they were asked, how did you come by that? He said, we pick it on the net. And that was the justification. And when the Director General rightly suspended them pending investigation, that evening, the opposition party spokesperson, who happened to be the current president, came to their defense. Eventually, we look at it and we resolve the matter. And the next day, not soon after, the government of the day also thought that the Director General should be set aside. When we told them that you must be crazy, you cannot have a good and performing Director General to be set aside, our board was dissolved 2 days after. But all of us have the responsibility of fighting for an independent public service broadcasting, the quality of management, and I hope that the chairman of the NMC is here. The appointment of quality leadership is a priority. And once they are appointed, they should be given the freedom and the support to manage, including the right to hire and fire and discipline. That is what being a Director General is all about. It is not about boasting tea party. Time will not allow me to elaborate on that one. But let me move on to my last but one point, because of time, which I have made sure I put it before me. Funding of GBC. If we want such a public service broadcasting, then as Ghanaians, we must be willing to fund it, and to fund it adequately. We cannot demand GBC becoming an authentic public service broadcasting house and not funding it. Everywhere in the world, the main source of public service broadcasting funding has come from license fee or other public levy, then charge on the consolidated fund equivalent of Ghana in terms of grants and subsidies, and limited, and I say limited, internally generated funds through selective advertising, because a national broadcasting institution cannot go and advertise alcohol and other things which are itself against public interest. They cannot be going out that way, and therefore the onus is for us to fund it. In any case, if they have to get most of their money from advertising, then the private sector will say that there's unfair competition. We must fund it. Beyond a certain limit of limited commercial advertising, I believe that the other sources of funds should come from public sources. But anyone with little inside information about GBC knows that the corporation is managing on shoestring budget. The TV license even is not collectable for 30 pesos. You cannot ask anybody to go and collect it. So therefore, all of you here and myself don't pay it, because nobody comes for it. Maybe if they put some collection box at other places, when we are going to church, we may give them the charity of 30 pesos. And that means that may be the way to go about it. It is therefore time for us to stop discussing how we are going to finance GBC and to come up with viable ways to resolve the corporation on a sustainable basis. It is in that line that I want to discuss two ways that we can support GBC almost painlessly. First, of course, is from the consolidated fund, and the second is from a realistic national levy, so that they don't have to depend solely or mainly, apart from salaries, on internally generated funds from provision of services and advertising. GBC up to date receives inadequate budgetary allocation from the government, and I think that largely it has been deliberate. It is not because of financial constraints. I didn't ask Don what is the budget for GBC now, last year, total budget. I'm sure it's just a few millions, about 10. Very inadequate. So, you know, that's a good public servant. I think that there must be a certain, to support GBC, a realistic national license or levy. GBC is mandatory and binding on the Minister of Finance to release. Secondly, and most importantly, I think that there must be a national levy to support GBC, a realistic national license or levy. What do I mean by that? I believe that we'll be willing to consolidated fund, which is a sinking hole. It goes to electricity corporation and they pay it directly into a fund which is assessed by GBC. I believed, and I want to put it as a practical step with immediate effect for government to take the necessary steps to that end. And for corporations and other bodies, 10 Ghana cedis, which will make no difference in anybody, but it will make a difference in that. And of course, that money should not go through the consolidated fund, which is a sinking hole. It goes to electricity corporation, and they pay it directly into a fund which is assessed by GBC. I believe that immediately GBC will have all the necessary funds, and they don't have to depend even on advertising, because every month, every Ghanaian consumer contributes just one cedi. Shouldn't we do it? You would. On behalf of those who are not here, Ghanaians, these people have voted 100%. All the eyes have it. I'm not saying that we shouldn't raise the TV license and the rest. In fact, in my address, I've also mentioned that we can actually put a specific tax so that when you buy a television, that at that point of purchase, there's a tax that goes to support public broadcasting. But let me end by virtue of the time that we are supposed to be here. On my last point, that Ghana Broadcasting Corporation must take advantage, last but one, constitutional and legislative framework to be a true public sector broadcaster. I believe that the 1992 Constitution, the repeal of the criminal libel law has given us opportunity that if the management becomes subservient to political interests or sectional interests, then it is your fault. And people must be prepared to stand up and be counted, and I'm sure that the NMC will support that. Of course, the NMC itself needs strengthening. Both by change of law to be able to sanction media personnel who don't do their job well, and also the necessary funding to do their job. I believe that there's a need for the strengthening of the media, National Media Commission, because it will be in everybody's interest. But given the deteriorating quality of certain segments of the private media, I'm also proposing something very, very specific, that the Chief Justice must set up a special libel and slander court, because we should not allow press freedom to undermine individual freedom. You cannot allow that. And therefore, there must be a special court, not criminal court, so that if you write something libelous or slanderous about me, you know that within 1 week, there will be a judgment. You are either right or I am wrong. Whatever it is, but you have a judgment. And then some of the journalists who are responsible are in the pay of others, when they find themselves a few days in Insawen prison, not because their government was pursuing them, but the individuals went to a civil court. I think that is the fastest way to sanitize the pens and the voices of the bad elements, and there will be no cause for fear for any good journalist. And if they set it up, some of us will campaign to get free lawyers, both for the journalists and those who take them to court, so that you can't say that money was the problem, because it's high time we sanitize our airwaves and the tabloids, because we cannot allow also the tyranny of journalists. Some of them actually wonder whether they qualify to be called journalists. I was in court one day, there was a different matter, and somebody had come to the library, and I asked the journalist who was there to defend, why did you do that? Do you know his answer to me? I was told to. And I was so sad, which means a human being who is grown up, a journalist, his answer was that I was told to. I didn't ask who told him. I believe in press freedom. But press freedom should never be allowed to undermine personal liberty. Finally, let me say that GBC, as a public broadcaster, must become an authentic and important platform for addressing critical national challenges. This is something which is very dear to my heart. GBC must engage itself more than it has been doing hitherto in using its medium to discuss and finding practical solutions to critical national, social, economic, and political challenges facing the country, and to foster national cohesion. I believe that GBC can play a very critical role in catalyzing resolution of critical issues facing Ghana. And I want to specifically mention some of them, which, of course, it comes from one person's view. You cannot say it's democratic, but you decided to bring me alone and not to bring everybody for a debate. First of all, I believe that there's the need to preserve the integrity of vital government institutions in an era of extreme partisanship which is engulfing this country. I have in mind especially the need to insulate our security services, especially the BNI, OICO, the police, the Ghana Armed Forces, and the like, from politics. One must know that if BNI comes to say you have to answer the question, it's because you have a question to answer, not because a politician says go after him. And the Ghanaian should feel that confident, and I think that GBC must defend and promote the integrity and independence of our security agencies, because when they are co-opted and corrupted, all of us have no future. Again, it's important that we maintain the integrity of our judiciary, especially at the Supreme Court, so that when a Supreme Court judge is appointed, even a baby knows that this man, this woman deserves to be a Supreme Court judge. And especially in an era, what just happened after the contestation over the last election, the appointment of who sits on the Supreme Court becomes very, 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 very important, because when any a critical segment of any community loses confidence in judiciary, you have trouble. In fact, sociologically, only when 2% of a population lose confidence in judiciary, the country is in for trouble. And we must be very careful. Again, as an illustration of the independence, take the Electoral Commission. The independence and the neutrality of the Electoral Commission is currently probably the single most important determinant of stability of Ghana. And therefore, Dr. Farijan and his people should know that it's not we are doing our job. It is either saving or destroying our dear land. You cannot afford it to be. And I trust that the GBC, these are the type of things I want you to be discussing and putting it in the public area. The independence and preserving the integrity of our vital economic and political and governance institutions. Secondly, I believe that the GBC should have, and it's not too late, to take on the constitutional amendment issues. I believe that His Excellency President Mills did very well to set up a very credible constitutional review commission headed by Professor Fiajo, and the type of members, and they went round. And as a social scientist, I've not seen any well-researched and documented and work in this country with clear results of the will of Ghanaians as to what they want our constitution to be changed. They asked for National Long-Term Perspective Plan, Independent National Development Planning Commission, election of the Metropolitan, Municipal and District Chief Executives, review even of the term of the presidency. And yet, sadly, politics took over. And the Mills administration decided to send a white paper to Parliament, basically to say almost every important thing that they said, we will not do it. And Ghanaians were, the intelligence of Ghanaians was insulted when then the party in power appoint a National Implementation Review Committee headed by one of the best gentlemen and the brains in law, Professor Yivi Odankwa. But how dare you, when there's a National Review Commission, come out with something almost all Ghanaians say, this is what we want, to say that some committee should review it and advise government. You are saying that when the Ghanaians speak, we won't do it. I believe that this is the time that it must be discussed, and that the results of the National, the Constitutional Review Commission should be implemented without further delay. For that is what Ghanaians said they want. Another area that you could, as an illustration, issues of public health and education. So important. Many of you associate me with university education, but my heart is in pre-university education, because that's where it's so sad. Almost 2/3 of our children leave basic school after 9 years, semi-illiterate or totally illiterate. How can you imagine that you sit in a classroom for 9 years and cannot read and write? And nobody is discussing it. These are the type of things I want to see you talk about. Since 1980, and I will do so till I fall dead, hopefully somebody may listen to, we must use our public broadcasting corporation so that between some hours between 3 o'clock and 10 o'clock a.m. and 3 o'clock, nationally useful educational materials are broadcast to every school, and it's the responsibility of us all to make sure that there is a widescreen television, solar paneled, so that whether you're in Achimota or you live in Kwabotwe Hill or Shomwasi, you can have good quality education. And in 2004, I estimated it required only $2.5 million to put such a system at that time for the 540 secondary schools in Ghana. That is the type of money that we hear people chop overnight. It's like peanut. And we don't do it. And you know, in the case of children, you can't wait, because every year a generation passes. That is criminal, and we are failing the younger generation. Let me mention two more there. I also want to call GBC to use its platform to discuss and found, if appropriate, and advocate for a national government. Now, we cannot have a situation whereby at any time a large segment of the country's high-level human resources are excluded from the governance of our country. Worse still, whole regions are made to feel they do not matter by being denied appropriate representation in government and at the cabinet levels, while others who are considered as the ruling party or the president's IMF, World Bank, and positively ADB, that means home country, home area, are overrepresented. The Constitution makes it possible for a government which reflects the national character of Ghana. A national government can be formed by a stateman leader today without any need for constitutional change. The national government issue is a leadership issue and not a constitutional one. For example, and let's be specific, if the NPP is in power, it does not mean it should deny proportionate representation in government and public service of people from the border region or the north because the government... it's not a government stronghold. It doesn't have many people in parliament from there. The day a president is appointed, he ceases to be a party president. He is the president of the nation. And we must tell the president. She's a pastor, so... Amen means I agree. Again, if NDC is in power, it does not mean it should draw all its ministers from the party. The Constitution doesn't say so. Or, worse still, from the president's, World Bank or IMF, because I don't think that, not World, it's ADB, because I don't think that many of them have come from the NPP's, NDC's World Bank. Or, it's not allowed to say that we are having, you come from the north, and therefore northness should have inordinate proportion of appointments in government and public service. You can't do that. This is a unitary government. A national government means that you consciously and deliberately choose your people to represent the regions, the group, main groups of the people. That is what I mean by national government. And if you don't do that one, it's a sign of bad leadership. That is why the Constitution allows the appointment of at least half of the cabinet from outside parliament, and there's no restriction, however, on other appointments. Only poor leadership makes presidents behave as if they are presidents of a party and not a whole country. In Ghana today, there are qualified people from every region, and from every region, you can form even a whole cabinet. So the question of qualified people being appointed should not be talked about, because you can't say that there are even Shiromasi people have a professor. that does not mean appointing your die-hard opponents who will undermine your government. But for goodness sake, there are other Ghanaians who from everywhere who will promote the cause of Ghana rather than parochial interests. In saying so, I'm not advocating the one-party state of the Nkrumah era or Kuti Achampong's UNIGOV, which was a pretext to perpetrate a bankrupt military rule. Rather, we must have a system whereby the leader deliberately draws on the best technical personnel of the country, but at the same time consciously ensures that as far as possible, all regions and peoples group in the country are included in the governance of this country at the higher echelons of public service. While I think as a country we must reduce our winner-takes-all syndrome, which may require a constitutional amendment, what I'm advocating is a leadership issue and not a legal or constitutional matter. We must have a national government because we are a nation with a common destiny. The current polarization can land us in trouble. Finally, whether we like it or not, every 4 years, we have elections on our hand. Until we have changed our constitution and the presidency to 7-1-year term, as I advocate always, our politicians have made elections a do-or-die business because many see it as an avenue to rise from rags to riches. The 2016 is going to be an even particularly challenging elections. We all know the sentiments that attended the 2012 elections and subsequent challenge of results in the Supreme Court. I've also observed that there is a deterioration in the quality of campaign messages. Of course, we also know how money is playing more and more role in our party, in our political life. And worst of all, every 4 years, the fourth year of the term of a four-year term, there's economic mismanagement, which we spend about 2 years to undo. It's a cycle we keep on. So we don't go forward. We do 1.5 years, we spoil it for 1 year, then we have 2 years of corrective measures, IMF and other things will come in. I believe that the GEBC can contribute to ensure that the 2016 elections become issues-based and not slogan-led, such as, Ededikake, Yeshi Rado Rado. I mean, come on. Because the politicians are taking us for a ride. GEBC should empanel experts to discuss manifestos, discuss the quality of leadership, and put to rest trivial distractions such as tribe, age, and beauty of candidates. The GEBC must partner also with the Electoral Commission and the political parties to ensure that the results of all polling stations are instantly broadcast. With today, you can know the results of every polling station within 30 seconds because we know that in transmitting them, things happen. 2,260 becomes 2,600. And I have a case, a fraudulent case, a handling somewhere, which I won't mention. People buy petrol 160 and then they put 2 in front, it becomes 260. Unfortunately, that is true of Ghana. If we are able to every polling station, there must be a wide screen from Mwasi North polling station. 300 for NDC, 200 for MPP. Immediately, it is test and it is on the screen. Paga, 600 for MPP. 2 for NDC. I have to reverse it for you to Ghanaians know that to balance the equation. And it is transmitted, and we all went to school. Afarijan did not do mathematics more than Kwade did. So that there will be no disputation about the results, because if we don't, let me tell you, if you have lived under a civil war situation, you will do everything to avoid it. Let them go and campaign. Let the best win. But once the results are tempered with, almost invariably, at a certain point, it leads to national destabilization. We cannot allow it to happen to us. Because if we do, we may. I'm challenging, therefore, GEBC, that's my last page, to use its platform to promote these and other national interest issues, anti-corruption measures beyond political rhetoric, to promote the likes of the work of journalists like Anas on a sustainable basis. We do it for only 1 week. Hey, there was something at the port. Then it's finished. No, we must have a certain public broadcasting interest which will follow it up until the end. If there were no Joshua Hamidu, some of the cases which are still going on would have been dropped a long time. Somebody. And the public service broadcasting's responsibility to make sure that we don't drop all yams. Heard it about once. We must bring it open. At this moment, look, we know your countries
whereby religious fundamentalists start as small cells, and before long, a whole country is thrown into. And it we see incipient ones in Ghana, and everybody is afraid to talk about it. If we don't, we will live to regret. I will therefore conclude by emphasizing that we need GBC as a public broadcasting house of quality, for which we can say, take GBC out and much, if not all the rest, is the same. Compatriots, I hope I have succeeded in articulating the relevance of public service broadcasting in contemporary Ghana. The need to fund GBC with an easily collectible and adequate public levy through the payment of utility bills. The need for GBC to earn its keep, and for GBC to create a platform to tackle vital and critical national issues. All that will depend on GBC becoming independent, efficient, and public interest-centered. I wish GBC a happy 80th anniversary. To all Ghanaians, and especially to the staff of GBC, I also wish you a happy Easter as you remember the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. Let us use the Lent period to confess the sins of our nation and call on God to heal our land. God bless our homeland, Ghana, and make our nation stronger.
Broadcasting Corporation GBC is 80 years old. Know all about